thank the Lord for that. I don't know why the Lord laid that song on my heart. Appreciate God being good to us. Amen. All right. If you got your Bible and you're able to, we'll go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 23 tonight. A little short scripture. Appreciate God laying this on my heart, and I don't know exactly where I'll go with it. But the Lord laid a scripture on my heart. Appreciate God being good to me tonight. Here in Ezekiel chapter number 23, and I'll begin reading in verse number 36. And the Lord said, "Moreover unto me, son of man, wilt thou judge Ahola and Aholiba, yea, declare unto them their abominations. And they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands, and their idols have they committed adultery, and have also caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them. Moreover, this they have done unto me, they have defiled my sanctuary in the same day, and have profaned my Sabbaths." This is the verse I want to bring forth, the Lord laid on my heart. Verse number 39. "For when they had slain their children unto their idols, then they came the same day unto my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of mine house." Father, tonight I thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. I thank you, Lord, for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for just speaking to my heart and, Lord, helping me. Lord, I pray, God, you draw near unto me tonight. I pray, God, and ask your help, I pray. I thank you, Lord, for the touch also thus far today and tonight. I pray, God, that you might have your will to be done tonight. I pray, God, Lord, have your will today in this word. And I want to say thank you, for in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. I had a thought just there on verse number 39. Is for when they had slain their children to their idols. You know, whenever you read that scripture there, that line, "and for when they had slain their children to their idols," and taking the meaning, I mean, if you look at today's society and the way we live today, there's a great push to break up the family. There's a great push to dissolve the family unit, I guess you could say. I mean, how often now you see the daddies at work, the mama, she's got a job now, and that's understandable in today's society. Not saying a woman shouldn't work, I'm just saying that the way things got, the God of heaven had set up in the early time, when God had set up the world, and things had carried on since that time, but the way things were set up then ain't the way things are now. There's a great change, and we see the sacrifice of people today of their children. And that just the idea of sacrificing our children, that next generation. And I can see that in my past generations, where the family, the children had been sacrificed to fulfill the lusts of the mother and the father, or the parents. And we see that today, and we see that carrying on even the more so today than what you. I mean, you see people get wrapped up in sin. Say a young lady, young couple, whatever, they see it as all right to go shack up and get knocked up, and yet they have the mentality, "It's okay. I'm gonna do the quote unquote good thing because I'm not ready for a child. I can't provide for this child," and they'll go abort the child. That I'm telling you that in today's society, and even it, that's to fulfill the lust of their flesh. That's not to spare the child. That's a lie that they're telling themselves. That's a lie that this world is feeding these people today, that they can just take their sins and push it off the wayside and everything's going to be okay. And if you come to think of it in the right context, if you have an injury, you put a little salve on it. That's all it is. They're just going to put a little salve on that right there. That's what sin really is. It's a scar. It's a scar. It's what scars a body. Scars the mind. It sears the mind. It sears the conscience. But if you think of it in that context, it's not even that just abortion in itself is, although that is a sacrifice unto idols in this state to fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's really all it is. Whenever you worship an idol, that's to fulfill the lust of your flesh. That's to deny that the God of heaven laid out a way for us to meet all our needs. You're going to go somewhere else for the need. That's to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want these things over here. I know God's not going to give it to me. I'm going to go over here and get it. So we're sacrificing our children in this day to fulfill the lust of our flesh. That's the way the world is. Not only now you see that in as far as the abortions and stuff today, but also if you think about it in the breakdown of the family unit, mamas and daddies don't want to deal with their children anymore. We'll just give them a tablet or put on a little TV show. And I'm not saying you can't sit down and enjoy a movie together, although it probably do you better. It does me better sometimes. I mean, I'm just being honest. I've come to a point now where I'm learning and I'm seeing that, you know, it doesn't do me a lot of good to sit there in front of that TV, although I do. It doesn't do my children any good to sit in front of a TV, but they do. It's just part of life in this day. But what I'm getting at is, I'm busy, go watch a TV show. I'm busy, go get your tablet or put something on, and then it captivates their mind to where you don't have to deal with it, so you can do what you deem necessary. What happened to the day? I remember as a child, a young man coming up, hey, we had things to do. We had wood to cut. That's how we heated our house. That's how I heat my house today. We cut wood and we split wood and we done things together in that manner. In that fashion, I don't know how many times I remember coming up, cutting that wood, splitting it, throwing it in the back of that wagon, and running it up to the house, carrying it inside. Nowadays, it's like, oh, I ain't got time to watch my children. I'm going to go get this done here. Here's a tablet. They're sacrificing. That's the next generation. That's what it really is. We're sacrificing the next generation. And our churches are suffering. Our families are suffering. You know, we put on a good show in today's society. That's what it really is. We put on that good show. We do all these things. We sacrifice our children. We sacrifice all these things throughout the week. And then we're going to come into the house of God and profane the house of God. I looked up that definition there too. That definition of profane. Profane is irreverent to anything sacred applied to persons. A man is profane when he takes the name of God in vain or treats sacred things with abuse and irreverence. Irreverent, proceeding from a contempt of sacred things or implying it as profane words or language, profane swearing, not sacred, secular, relating to secular things as profane history. In other words, shorten it up, polluted or not pure. How often do we see that in today's society? A church that used to be one that would stand, a church that would be a pillar in the community, a great church. You see how there's a lot of things that have been sacrificed in the family, in the home, the children. There's sacrifices going on to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that church that had one time stood their ground and had a good foothold is now in the world. And they have profaned the gathering house of the Lord. You see that today in so much, and so much the more. You can go right down the road here and see church after church after church. Come into our church. We've got these programs over here for the children. Hey, that's the way it is. They don't want the children to get the preaching. They'll send them off and give them a puppet show. They'll give them a cookie and a cup of Kool-Aid in the back, and don't give them no preaching in the pulpit anymore. Mamas and daddies don't want them to talk about it. I remember whenever I was a teenager, I didn't have the birds and the bees talk. That's things those things should be taught to these young people. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself in a way and make yourself a good moral being. That's something that's gone by the wayside. Mamas and daddies don't teach anymore. I'm struggling with it because I wasn't in that way. Don't get me wrong, I was hedged in a lot of ways. I was. But then also in a lot of ways, I wasn't taught.
I mean, there's a lot of things I could have been taught and brought up that God could have used to touch my heart. And it's just it's nothing short of the grace of God that God has saved the wretched man that I am and gave me a life, gave me what I have today. He's given me a good family, a good wife. He's given me all things I didn't deserve. And yet, oh, wretched man that I am, He's teaching me I don't need to worry about sacrificing my children. That's the next generation to come. Judgment's to come. If you look back in verse number 36, you know, it says, Son of man, wilt thou judge? Yea, declare unto them their abominations. That mamas and daddies, pastors and grandfathers, grandmothers, it's not up to us to judge, but it is to point out sin for what it is. And we have gotten too complacent in order to point out what it really is. I've gotten too complacent in the sense I don't speak up like I should anymore. I have before, but I'm learning some things. I'm not talking about being blatant, outright crazy and hurtful. But I'm talking about there is a way you can go up to a person in a broken, contrite spirit and say, I don't want to see you go to hell. Well, the way you're living, that's where you're going. There's a way to do that. Did you know that? For the sake of our children, for the sake of this generation to come, I need to stand. I need some help. Talking about Aloha and Aloheba, that was Samaria and Jerusalem. If you look back and read into it, that's that prophetic statement there. That's Samaria and Jerusalem, talking about their abominations, their whoredoms in the midst of that world today, come from mixing. In other words, if you look at it in the right context, they're mixed a little bit of this, a little bit of that into what God told them to do and said, it's okay. That's not what it was. He said, we ought to be sanctified. I mean, set apart, come out from among them. That's how we ought to be. You can't mix oil and water. Brother Keith, you're a mechanic. You ever tried to mix oil and water? It don't work, does it, brother? You pour a little bit of water in a crankcase and let that engine run. See how long it goes. That thing's going to blow up in your face. So that's the same kind of concept right there. As far as you can't take what's necessary in an engine to keep it running, you can't take what's necessary in a home and keep the home together, and you can't take the world and mix it in there and expect your home not to fail. Because that's what's going to happen. For they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands, and with their idols have they committed adultery. In other words, they've let their lust of their flesh draw them away, and they tried to take that lust and put it in the church and say, it's okay. They've taken that worldly music and put it in the church house and say, it's all right. We're going to have that rock band in the church house. It's okay. Just because we take and change the words a little bit, make us mix it up a little bit, it's going to be all right. That's not how it works, friend. I know I'm hurting some feelings there. That's all right. That's just how it's going to be. I don't know why God put this on my heart, but that's just how it is. We've come too far to let things slip in unawares. We've come too far. Our children are worth more in this day than what we give credit to. That next generation. If you ever wonder, why our nation, why the world is today the way it is, it's because somebody's children were sacrificed. The knowledge of God, the word of God, has not been passed. The raising of God's people ain't happening like it used to happen. Are y'all on the same page with me here? You seeing it in the world today? The sacrifices of people, or of our children, both physical and emotional and spiritual? It's a sacrifice all around. God help us in this day. Then, I say, now get this. It says, for when they had slain their children to their idols, they turned them over to the lust of their flesh, and they served the lust of their flesh, and they fulfilled the lust. They've gone after their lust. They've gone after of taking care of the pleasures and taking care of their flesh. And look here. And he says, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. They came into the house of God purposefully to profane it, to have irreverence. Do you see that in today's society? Is that going on in the church house today? I'm not saying it's happening here, but it's just one. What I'm saying is one generation from being in this pulpit. It's one generation from being on these pews. Mom and Dad, is this going to be the last generation that stands for God and tells people the truth? It's just one generation away. I really don't think we take it. I don't take acknowledgement that we are that close. I need to realize and come to the terms in my own mind. We need to take a stand. My mama and daddy, hey, they cared for me. They loved me. But there's a lot of things that could have been done differently. Spared me a lot of hurt. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not knocking in. I'm not trying to bring light to somebody else. But what I'm saying is we have a responsibility to the generation that is to come to raise them up right and forget about sacrificing them to the lust of our flesh, to fulfill the lust of our flesh, and to follow after our own passions. Because that's what, we've all done it. Those who have had children, how many times have you said, well, just go read a book, go outside and play, I'm busy. If you be honest, we've all done it. At some point or another, we have done it. We need to take notice. I mean, my little girl, I mean, it's really come very apparent up to me here lately. And it's still hard to deal with. She looks up to Daddy a lot. More than what I think she does. A lot more. You know, it's amazing to me how I can come in from work. First thing is, when she comes up and sees me, big old smile on her face. Ain't that something? How precious that is. One of these days, I'm going to look back and I'm going to remember those things. Because there might be a day, and I hope and pray to God that she doesn't fall. But that's in the hand of God. But it may come a day where she's going to go off and be on her own one of these days. I don't want to sacrifice my daughter. I don't want to sacrifice my son. Boy, how he loved. I love to pickle him before bedtime, man. Go over and poke at him, pick at him, tickle his legs. There's a little Gucci spot right here at his armpit. Just poke it right there, boy. He curls up. That's precious. Our children are an heritage unto the Lord. The Lord's give us these children. He's give us a generation to carry on the Word of God, to carry on the morals and the standards and the things that God has laid out in the Word of God. He's given us this precious, precious gift. Brother Keith, I see you with your grandchildren. Boy, I can see it in your eyes. The twinkle, boy, you love them grandbabies, don't you? Danny, I remember you holding my little girl whenever she was so little, boy, that twinkle in your eye. You just couldn't help but smile when she was so little. She just look up at you and your heart melts. That's precious. We should not sacrifice these things. Right. You know, you ever heard that little terminology maybe? I don't know how to put it anything else, but shorten it up. It says, those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. This right here is a past account of that which was, and it's left here for the church in the modern day to be able to learn from it so we don't repeat it. The world in itself has and is continuing to go down that same path. The sacrifice of the children. That's why it keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and it keeps falling further and further and further. We wonder why things are the way they are in the government. It's because somebody's mama and daddy at some point in time turned them over to the idols and sacrificed them. I'm not claiming it, but I mean, most likely, I don't know how many percentage of people up there in the government and in higher leadership in this day is probably reprobate, but I'd say probably a pretty good number of them. Because they have no reverence, no kind of mentality of actual scriptural things today. Because they're contrary to the Word of God in all things. Everything they talk about supporting abortion. They talk about giving drugs and all this other stuff. I mean, you know, and the thing about that is that's what the world wants. They want the handout. They want the freebie. And the child of God has said, "Lord, give it to me. Help me. I've got needs." The world wants to turn to the government to meet their needs. The child of God wants to go and pray. I mean, look at Daniel. That's a good picture right there. The sacrifice that was made on Daniel's part to continue to stand. And yet he was tossed in the midst of the lion's den for his stand for God. He didn't bow to the world. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't follow the laws, but what I'm saying, if it's something that transgresses the word and the law of God, we need to stand on the law of God and stick with the book. Our children are worth more than that. Mamas and daddy, you ought to stand in the midst of these storms coming, and it's coming. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I've seen the storm clouds on the horizon. They're coming for my little girl. They're coming for my little boy. Tasha, they're coming for your little baby boys and your little girls. I'm telling you, Brother Keith, they're coming for them. They want us to sacrifice our children unto them so that we might be able to turn away from God. And that's what they want in this day. That's why they're funding all this abortion. That's why they're doing all these things, so it might break up the home and it might bring a discord and disgrace in the midst of the house of God and His people. That's what they want. They want the church to be broken up so they can be a ha, 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 ha. Revelation's put it out there plain and clear. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's outside. They've pushed him out. When we sacrifice our children, when we sacrifice all that God has laid out, we turn our backs on the Word of God. When we do these things, we push him out. Stand on it. That's what we need to do. "They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day and profaned my Sabbath." Now, I'm not saying, you ever notice that? I go out to eat on Sunday sometimes. You know, some places I don't go out to eat on Sunday because I believe it's a day of rest. We need to go home. And I understand that. I mean, you do what God tells you to do. But Sundays, and I'm not saying it should be just one specific day. I mean, yes, you should have a time set apart to have some time with God. The same kind of concept is it's important for a husband and wife to be able to set some time apart, to be able to come and reconcile, to have some time together, to be able to spend time and draw near one to another. That's important in this day. That same kind of concept in a marriage, it keeps a marriage going. It's the same kind of concept must be applied in the personal relationship between the saved and elect of God and God. You should have some time set apart for Him to be able to pray, seek Him out, and just witness to Him, pray to Him, seek Him out, do whatever it is God's put on your heart, read in the Word of God, whatever it is, you should have some time for it. Because our children are worth it. They see you. You know how I know that? Sometimes when we go to eat, sometimes my mom and daddy forgets. I mean, I'm getting a little older, my mind gets a little slipping. "Oh boy, that cheeseburger looks good, let's dig in." "Daddy, you didn't pray." "Brother Keith, you ever heard your grandbaby say that?" "Papa, you didn't pray. We forgot." If we just be honest with us, we get that way. "I forget." "Daddy, you ever heard you've been around my children before. They say that, ain't they? They'll let you know real quick. Hey, you didn't pray." You know why? Because they see and they acknowledge that God has an important place in my life. You know, Hannah the other day, she said, "Daddy, when are we going to have a daddy-daughter date?" We do that on occasion. It's important. I mean, it slips my mind. I'm a little bit older now. Aaron knows, we stay kind of busy at work sometimes. Come home, I'm ready. I'm wore out. I'm ready. It's like my mind has been running 100 miles an hour. I'm ready to sit down. I don't even think about that kind of thing. "Daddy, when are we going to have a daddy-daughter date?" I mean, sometimes we'll go up here and get some ice cream, or we'll go bowling. We've went bowling before. You know, we can't do a whole lot right now, but it's still, we can still go get some ice cream. We can go to the park and go walk around. We can go jump on a swing, something. You ever think how important that is? We can't sacrifice that. Jonathan, one of these days, little boy's there, he's gonna want to learn to shoot them guns, or he's going to want to get out there and go fishing or hunting or whatever, you know. One of these days, he's going to want to get out there and shoot with you, Daddy. Big John over there, he's going to pull out, he's going to shoot one of these days. He wants to be like Daddy. He's going to be carrying them little sidearms just ready to pow. It's important that we take this that we know and pass it to this next generation. We shouldn't sacrifice these things. Our children are worth more. This next generation is worth so much more. I appreciate God being so good to me and allowing me to have such a wonderful family, both at home in the church. I mean, you know, just being able, we went and sat down, had a meal this past Sunday with some of the best family you could possibly have. It's amazing what a little bit of time like that, drawing a family together, will have on a child. You never really understand it. I mean, I didn't understand it. I mean, some of the best times in my life, I look back, is going to be when the family came together, both in my home or my family as a whole. You never really understand and know how important the church family coming together and praying and worshiping. That's why he said, forsake not the gathering yourselves together, insomuch that you see the day approaching. In other words, hey, the further along we get more add to it. Get with it. Get more done. Come together more. Speed it up. Run the race. Our children are at stake. This next generation is at stake. We don't need to sacrifice them. I get complacent a lot. I really do. If you're honest, you do too. Just be honest about it. Because we got too much on our plate, or we think we do. Oh, this is so important. That yard's going to be there. I promise you, it ain't going to hurt nobody if that grass gets another couple inches taller. It ain't going to hurt nobody. Well, I'm slinging that ball a little bit. To be honest with you, I can't run like I used to. Boy, howdy, the older I get, the easier it is for me to get winded. I understand and know that now. But sometime or another, I'm going to look back, and those times, that, I mean, I thought I was so tired I couldn't get out there and run. Whew, it's all right. They're going to remember that. That's going to be something they remind, that's going to pull to mind. You know, and that's something, when they see Mom and Daddy out here at the altar, praying and seeking God, weeping. You know, sometimes I've seen this at night too. I mean, we make it a point to come together every night and pray right before bed. Be honest with you, sometimes I'm so tired at night, I just can't hardly go. But if we don't pray, Daddy, we didn't pray. How precious is that? We can't sacrifice our children in this day. Take knowledge of that. We can't slay our children. We can't turn our children over to this world because they're too precious. That next generation's worth a lot more. We need to uphold the Word of God. We need to stand. Take a stand. I appreciate God being good to us tonight. I appreciate God helping me with that because I'm learning. I'm still learning. I got a lot to learn. You know, I got a long way to go. I mean, I ain't but 36 years old. My little girl, she's 8. Little boy, he's 5. Lord willing, I got a long way to go. Notice I said, Lord willing. I don't know. I might not make it out that door. You never know. But, you know, Lord willing, one of these days, I hope to be able to see her walk down the aisle. One of these days, I hope to be able to stand with him by the altar. But most of all, I look forward to those, don't get me wrong, but most of all, I look for God to save her soul and his soul. I look for God to save that little boy right there one of these days. Speak to his heart like he did me, like he did you. I look for God to save your children like he did me and you. Ain't that something? Ain't that something, the gift right there that you can't give it, but just to be able to watch it. Boy, I still remember the day that Susan got saved. I remember it. But, you know, the thing about it is, I remember when John got saved up here that time Brother Shank was preaching. You know, things like that stick. It's amazing how that sticks and stays with you. They see it. They got to partake. They're here in the midst of it. Although it wasn't them, but they got to partake and see it. The rest of the world has no clue. We shouldn't slay our children to this world and these idols. God help us today. May God add His blessing to the word. Jonathan, will you close us out in prayer?
Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for another opportunity again to hear the preached word, Father, to our hearts.